Welcome to The Exit Strategy, your no bullshit guide to divorce with the experienced attorneys from New Direction Family Law. Unfiltered discussions to help you move from victim to victorious and from bitter to better.
Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Sarah Hink. I'm one of the experienced attorneys at New Direction Family Law. My partner at New Direction, Elizabeth Stevenson, is usually with us, but she is busy preparing for an emergency custody hearing and I think a DVPO. She has a lot going on right now. So we excused her from the podcast recording today, but in her, well, not in her place, but as
could
always.
Never fill those shoes.
No. And oh my God, her shoes are gorgeous.
Yes.
She wins. Elizabeth always wins best dressed at the law firm. For sure. Elizabeth or Elizabeth Bordeaux. Now you're adopted by her. I'm sure that would be amazing.
Yes. I do call her my work mom, but I am Jen Bordeaux, not one of the experienced attorneys, but all things marketing for the firm. And I am always happy to sub in as co-host whenever you guys aren't available so that we can continue to bring quality, funny, hopefully, and informative content to our listeners here. So what are we talking about today, experienced attorney?
Well, okay, so it's a little legally, so just bear with me. But so every week on like Tuesdays, mostly every week, the Court of Appeals issues new opinions that come out with. And so I always take the time, a good attorney should take the time to read over the opinions that came out from the Court of Appeals. And so basically, if you have a outcome in court that you don't like, you think there was some kind of issue with the ruling, and of course you need to talk to an attorney about what that might be. They present in many different forms, but you may possibly be able to appeal it. And so this was a case that was appealed, and I read the facts, and I just thought this was really good information to bring to our listeners. So I'll just go over the facts of the case at like bare minimum and really just talk about the importance of this.
All right, let's dive in.
Yeah, so this came out from the Court of Appeals in November of 2023. So not too long ago, and I think it might be going to the Supreme Court at this time, but there isn't a ruling from the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court acts like a check on the Court of Appeals. So if you don't like the Court of Appeals decision and you think there's still some kind of grounds, still an argument to be made, then you can have, you know, petition it to go to the Supreme Court of North Carolina. We're not talking about DC here. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, district court is family court, and you're going to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, you're going to the Supreme Court of North Carolina. And hey, if you want to take it all the way to the, you know, U.S. Supreme Court, you petition them too. But they can always be like, no, we're not even going to read that shit.
If you want, if you feel like your constitutional right has been violated in some way.
Right. So we're just, today we're in the Court of Appeals for North Carolina. And this case comes out of Guilford County, the original case in district court.
Greensboro.
Yes. So basically, there was a mom and dad. They were married. They have a child. Mom and dad separate. Custody case ensues. They don't go into great detail about this part of it, but there are some issues between mom and dad. Eventually, like CPS gets involved. And for a second, the child goes and lives with the paternal, so dad's mom, paternal grandma. And then dad files emergency custody. There seems like there's some alienation issues from mom. So it sounds like she's really extreme, maybe trying to take the child, not let anyone see the child. Doesn't really go into those facts. It just says this happened. Ultimately, dad ended up with primary custody, physical custody, and sole legal custody. Mom only had two supervised visitations a month and for 1 hour each. So that's like extremely limited visitation. So something was wrong with mom. Fast forward for a bit. That was in 2019 when dad gets that order of sole legal and primary custody. Mom gets the supervised visits. Then in 2022, dad gets diagnosed with colon cancer. And reading everything, there seems to be a clue that this is not going to be survivable for dad. So dad, in August 25th specifically, 2022, files a motion to modify custody. Then on August 29th, so 4 days later, his mother, the maternal grandparent, files a motion to intervene in the custody case. And then on August 30th, dad dies.
Bless, that happened real fast.
Happened real fast, but the point of it is that this was really important to happen, because if grandma had not filed a motion to intervene while dad was still alive, she would never have the chance to file for custody. She would have to file an emergency custody and prove mom unfit. And that's the whole other hurdle. You have to prove mom like completely unfit, unconstitutional rights, or, you know, she's violating her constitutional rights as a parent, not, you know, parenting to the degree that she should. And just prior to dad passing, while he was sick, they were actually verbally just going by a week on, week off. So something had happened to make mom, dad more agreeable to mom having more custody.
Okay.
So it didn't sound like fitness was going to be an issue for mom, or it would be a hard hurdle for grandma to prove that she was unfit at that time.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's why this case was appealed, because mom said, well, wait a second. You know, my understanding, or at least her attorney understanding, is that once a parent passes, the custody case abates. That means it's no longer alive. There's only one living parent. And as a biological parent, your rights are the most important rights of anyone seeking custody. So therefore, it should just be mom, she has custody, and the case is done.
The end.
You can't even, there's no case for you to intervene in. And so that's what they appealed, because the district court was like, no, she filed in time. She filed, you know, a day before dad died. So she like got her foot in the door. And the Court of Appeals says, yeah, that's right. And I think this is just important for listeners to know, because if you're going through a process where you're diagnosed with cancer or some kind of terminal illness, to really plan this custody part out. And I know it's easy to kind of get lost in the illness of itself, but there are legal aspects that say when someone can file in a case for custody and what has to be proven. And that's really important for people to know.
Well, and we get calls all the time from the part of what I do with the firm is, I like to say, micromanage the client intake experience. Mm-hmm. And so when they are reaching out to us to inquire about services, we get a lot of calls about an aunt or an uncle or something like that wanting to get custody of a child or, you know, a grandparent. A lot of times, one of our attorneys has a very intense grandparents custody case right now. And I know that you've had them as well. And so this is such important information to know, because one, you never know what's going to happen in life, first of all. And we want to make sure kids are taken care of. And especially if you, like this poor gentleman who was ill and had primary or sole custody, I can't remember exactly what it was, you want to know that beyond your passing, you know, that your children are going to be taken care of.
Yeah. And whether or not mom got her act together, it was pretty clear from the facts of the case that there was alienation. So I'm sure that dad's family thought when he passes, that if mom gets custody, we're never going to see these kids again. Well, I think it was one kid, but that does happen. And if he were to pass before they filed a motion to intervene, they would have been out of luck.
Yeah.
You cannot intervene at that point after he would have passed. Unless, like I said before, obviously if there's issues on unfitness, if mom was doing drugs, not taking care of the kid, then anyone can file for emergency custody and seek custody if those facts are true. But that's a big hurdle. That is a big hurdle to overcome and take custody from a biological parent. But in this case, you know, they spoke to some attorney, or the attorney spoke up and said, hey, if this is terminal and this is going to happen, you're concerned about it, we need to take action. And it was important, too, that dad filed that motion to modify on the 25th of August of that, because that opened the case back up. And the case has to be, you know, alive, you would say, just happening, and not like permanent custody was found 10 years ago.
Right.
So that's another piece of the puzzle. It's very complex. You know, is there ongoing custody issues? And the court in this case looked at it and said, yeah, dad filed that motion to modify. So there was. And it did sound like if the court looked at it closely, okay, yeah, he had agreed to like week on, week off with mom because he was sick and things had changed and he was sick. And, you know, that's going to cause an issue with the kids if he can't physically do what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. And then they filed the motion to intervene. It just, timely was all done correctly and done just in time for dad, you know, his passing. And I just want people out there to know that. Otherwise, like I said before, you have to look to emergency custody or make sure there's an ongoing custody action. If it's been, you know, dead and not, no action's taken place for years, then the court's going to be like, no, you can't intervene. Even for like grandparent visitation, which is different from custody. It's this whole other battle, just trying to get some visitation. You have to show the court that it's in the best interest of the children and why the biological parent's wishes that you not see the kids, the grandparents not see the kids, should be overruled by the court pretty much. So it's just one of those end of life planning things for anyone listening that has concerns or might be going through illness to think about.
Well, and I was just going to say with end of life planning, and we've had another episode, shameless plug to listen to other episodes, Until Death or Divorce Do Us Part, where we had a very knowledgeable, experience and fun estate planning attorney on Adam Hoppler. And so when you think of end-of-life planning, you think of those kind of documents, right. Powers of attorney, your will and your trust and estates, planning, all of that kind of stuff. So what if somebody, I mean, it sounds like to me that a will would, if the will just said, if I die, my mother, so paternal grandmother, gets the kids, like that's not going to
No, it doesn't matter. Work. No, not at all. And then that's important. And so many people ask that question, like, if I have shared custody and I die, then I want my mom to have my portion of the custody. No, that's not how it works at all. And if you die, then dad or mom, your other parent is going to get sole custody. And otherwise, the court says they can decide who the kids associate with. So you die and your ex-spouse, the dad or mom that you share children with, doesn't like your parents, doesn't like your side of the family, then they can pretty much just cut off your side of the family.
Yeah.
Unless you plan accordingly and, you know, do like in this case. Unfortunately, a lot of times you don't expect people to die, a car accident or something else. But it's something to think about. And just saying it in your will is not going to be enough.
Hey, y'all. It's Jen with New Direction Family Law. And if you've ever been through a divorce, you may have guessed or found out that determining who gets what property can be one of the most complicated and confusing issues of divorce. It is so important that you are represented by an experienced family law attorney who knows marital property law and will advocate for your best interest. New Direction Family Law has over 30 years experience protecting the rights of our clients and their assets. We aggressively advocate, we support, and we absolutely educate our clients to achieve the best possible outcomes. So give us a call today to schedule an initial consultation at 919-719-3470, or you can reach us at our website at newdirectionfamilylaw.com. We've got your assets covered.
You know, situations like end of life and passing and in family law, you know, separation, divorce, custody, emotions run so high mm-hmm. in those areas of law with the folks that we work with that are going through those and under those situations, and understandably so. However, the law doesn't really allow for emotion.
No.
And so, you know, we've had situations quite recently of folks reaching out that they are an aunt or an uncle who have been in a, you know, they've been what they feel like is a very important, you know, relationship with this child. Mm-hmm. And now maybe something else has fallen apart in the adults of the relationship, not mom and dad, but, you know, sister and brother or whatever. Yeah. And now they want to try to pursue some sort of visitation or custody because now the parent is withholding the children from them. And it's just kind of like,
yeah,
we did. Sorry.
Yeah. Like I said, there's constitutional rights as a parent, as a biological parent, and it extends to deciding who your children associate with. So you're kind of out of luck. It's a really high burden to overcome to get like some weekend visitation here and there.
Yeah. In some ways, understandably, I mean, in a lot of ways, understandably so. I mean, you are a mom. I mean, you can't imagine if somebody just could just willy-nilly try to file something in court because they wanted to spend more time with your daughter.
Yeah, like, here. No. No.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's understandable that the law is like that, but you have to understand the complexity of cases where, and like we said, the emotion's taken out of it. Like dad passes away, so mom just 100% gets custody. And this grandma, who clearly was a part of this child's life, mm-hmm. you know, had custody of her for a little bit and was close with her son, would never see this child again. So luckily, they spoke to an attorney. They timely filed everything. And the court appeals says, yeah, she can intervene in this case. There was ongoing custody issues. And she timely filed everything. And got our foot in the door. So that's just something to think about if you are hit with some kind of illness, you have concerns, even if you don't think it's terminal, have a plan in action, have an attorney like on speed dial pretty much to be like, things are going downhill. I need to talk to someone about my custody case. Know that your attorney, like if I was representing dad in this case, I wouldn't be able to represent grandma.
Right.
So I would have to, you know, make sure that to refer grandma to another attorney, there'd be a conflict of interest there because they'd both be parties to the same case. What have you. So just adding a little extra complexity to everyone listening, like, what do I need to do? Basically, you know, just contact an attorney. Grandma would need to have their own attorney, family law attorney, to work in conjunction, you know, with dad's attorney in this case and kind of, you know, talk about what their plan can be, the timing of it. And I mean, grandma literally filed the motion to intervene the day before dad died.
Which I can't imagine everything else going on, right?
Yeah.
The actual real life emotional side of that too. But I mean, speaking to the timeline here, and you've mentioned how important this timeline was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have folks who reach out to us a lot say, well, do I have to have an attorney? You don't have to have an attorney, but knowing these timelines, the importance of making sure that these actions get filed in court, there's record in court that this happened before all of this, is detrimental to potentially the well-being of the child, if, you know, depending on how close this relationship and stuff was.
Clearly, mom or dad and grandma both had attorneys and communicated enough so that dad filed his motion to modify, you know, a few days before grandma intervened and right before his death. So they made a really smart decision to talk to the family. I'm sure on his deathbed, his wishes are for, you know, his daughter to be, or son, I don't think I knew if it was a girl or a boy, but his child to be taken care of and to remain in contact with his family, and knowing the actions of mom in the past, that was not going to happen after his death. So I can imagine what he was thinking about then.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, you've mentioned having to prove a parent unfit.
Yeah.
In your experience, having experience with, you know, grandparent cases and things like that, or people that are trying, maybe you're representing the parent who someone else is trying to prove is unfit. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the law look like around that? Like, what is the standard of being able to potentially prove that a parent is unfit?
Yeah. And the judge ultimately has a decision in this, but a lot of times we see cases and it's extreme mental health issues, drug use, alcohol use. I mean, they're clearly not putting their child first in their decisions, alienating the other parent, perhaps physical abuse, just endangering the child. If we file emergency custody, there's really only three. I don't know if we probably have an episode about this. Three.
We may not, but we'll
three,
check.
You know, three little prongs that you can meet to get emergency custody on the initial filing. And that's to get like custody that day when the judge reviews it. But that the child is in physical danger, like immediate harm could happen to this child. The other one would be sexual abuse allegations, obviously very important. And then the third would be removing the child from the jurisdiction of North Carolina. Like mom just up and like left and went to, you know, Massachusetts or Canada or something like that with the kid, or is threatening to take the child out of North Carolina, threatening to take the child out of the, you know, United States. We see that too. A lot of time when people immigrate from other countries, they get concerned, oh, they're only here on a green card, they're going to take the child and go back. Those kind of allegations are good standing for you to file emergency custody. So then you have like another hearing to show the court, kind of for everyone have due process, because the court made the decision just off of your word saying like, they're saying this, I think dad's going to do that. So the judge says, well, that's really concerning if true, well, let's have a hearing to hear from dad on that. And you come back, and then if someone is just being completely reckless with their decisions, drugs, alcohol, mental health, then the court can put an order in place. Like in this case, how they did at one point was mom had, you know, supervised visitation just once or twice a month. I mean, that's pretty, something was really bad in that case.
Yeah, that led up to that. Interesting.
And then, you know, once that happened, so we see this a lot with grandparents that have children who battle with mental health issues, drug abuse, and they raise the grandbabies from the start. And then it gets to the kids are in school. All of a sudden, the school wants, you know, some legal papers saying, hey, do you have custody? Do you have legal custody? That's when grandparents, you know, really come knocking and say, I need some kind of paperwork. I've had this kid, raised this kid pretty much as their parent since their birth, because my son or daughter is just like nowhere to be found. So then we can file for custody then. So,
and it truly does happen. I can't believe I didn't think about this now, but we've recently had an initial consultation for some grandparents who, unfortunately, their child was battling an illness for a while and unfortunately did end up passing away. And then after the fact, you know, learned how not great the other parent was. And so now they're trying to find out how they can, you know, get custody and everything. And so to your point, after, because my heart was wrapped up in this situation and I'm talking to the attorney, to the consultation, and, you know, she was like, I want to do everything that I can, but there is a bit of a hurdle of proving there may be enough here to try to get some sort of emergency custody or to, you know, to try to do, but there, I don't believe that there was already a custody action established.
Right. So. Yeah. It's really hard to meet that burden to get custody a lot of times. And just having an absent parent sometimes is enough, but then they just come out of the woodwork all of a sudden. They want to be a parent. Like, you have not been around for years.
Oh, especially if they're going to start getting hit for child support, then all of a sudden they want to be a parent.
Right. And that's a whole different conversation too. They recently had a new Court of Appeals opinion about a same-sex couple, two women who have, one person undergoes, you know, not in vitro. I don't know. She gets inseminated some fashion, way or form.
Yep.
And so then she's trying to go after the other parent who wants custody. So mom number two wants custody, shared custody of this child they raised together. And then mom number one, who I guess birthed the baby, says, you know, well, I want child support. And then all of a sudden mom number two says, I ain't a biological parent. I'm not going to pay child support.
Wow.
And this new order came out saying, oh yeah, she's not a biological parent. But it was also an opinion that comes out and pretty much is anti-same-sex marriage. But that's a whole different, that's a whole different topic. Well, we can delve into that opinion one day.
Yeah.
But, you know, the importance of, there's so much complex stuff when it comes to, hey, I just have a relationship with this kid. I take care of this kid. This is pretty much my child, you know, regardless of whether or not I'm the biological parent. And unfortunately, there's law surrounding that. And it's not so easy as this kid looks at me as a parent.
Yeah.
Even maybe at the end of the day, it should be like that.
Yeah.
Currently, it's just not.
Yeah. And it's, we always think kind of that invincibility kind of complex, like, well, that's them, that's not me. But
yeah,
it could very easily be
shit changes.
You. Yeah.
People absolutely. Change and they get vindictive and they get stupid and they get selfish.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it can affect children.
Yeah. 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 They're unfortunately all too often the rope in the tug of war.
So, yes. And it's like, hey, what about this cute little being right here? Let's think about their best interest, but it's not that easy.
I'll get along.
I know. So
we also, you mentioned at the top of it, alienation, so like parental alienation. And I know that that can be, that we have another episode dedicated to that where we had a PhD level psychologist, Dr. Julianne Ludlam, to talk about that. So that's a very interesting, very tough thing to prove in court from what I remember.
Yeah.
But definitely check out that episode if you feel like maybe you're facing some of that, being alienated, all that good stuff. So lots of good information.
And as this case points out, at least a little bit, it's not the center of the case, but that's enough to change custody completely. So definitely speak to an attorney.
Yeah. And as always,
thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave us a review. You can visit us at newdirectionfamilylaw.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at @exitstrategy_podcast or email us at exitstrategy@newdirectionfamilylaw.com. We'll be back next time with more no bullshit content about life, divorce, parenting, relationships, and everything in between.